So when we begin at the feet of Jesus, from there on, things get proper perspective, right? And Steve gave me a book a few weeks back, and it deals with discipleship, the book. And that was what got me thinking about this. And the book, the author talks about three dimensions of relationship. Our relationship upwards with our Heavenly Father individually, corporately, and our relationship with one another, which the author calls within these four walls. And then he calls our relationship to the outside world out. So he calls up, in, and out. So, and I think it was last week when Phyllis was talking, she said something. She was saying a number of things that are wise, wisdom. She called them directives. I called them wisdom. And she said something that also resonated with me, which is in line. I thought I'd build around that. She said, start the journey in the way you want to go. And then she said, travel with others whenever possible. And I think when I hear word of wisdom, I usually, my ears perk up and I write down and think about it. So I think others, when we travel, our walk with Christ, our Christian walk involves others. It's never alone, right? It's always with others. So it's important to involve others by way of relationship. So I thought this morning we take a few minutes to talk about our relationship, especially as a pastor. One of my heart desire, my sort of my passion, and is for you to develop intimate relationship with Christ. So that is my sort of occupation as well as my preoccupation. So you find my messages mostly around that. When we take care of our relationship with Him, He takes care of our relationships with each other, from where we get energy to go out to reach out others with the love of Jesus Himself. So in this story we read this morning, we see Jesus entering in the house of Martha and Mary, which He's done a number of times before. And Mary sits at the feet of Jesus. That picture was a beautiful picture. And she was taking it all in. She's listening to what He had to say. And Martha was preoccupied, was busy running up and down, right? And not unlike what we see around us, this is very popular thing, running up and down, right? So, and she comes to Jesus and says, well, don't you care? Don't you see I'm busy, I'm working, and Mary is at your feet. Aren't you not going to say something about this? Aren't you going to, is this fair? It's not just. And Jesus begins by saying, Martha, Martha. It's as though to say that we've been through this before, right? Have we not had this conversation before? Kind of, right? So, just like a note of exasperation, I think. So you're worried and distracted by many things, right? So He's really addressing Martha's condition, her heart condition. He was as though He is doing a spiritual diagnosis, right? He was saying, she's asking that for Him to do something about it. Often Jesus does that. When we approach at His feet, when we find ourselves with Him, the very first thing He addresses is our heart condition. The first thing He addresses, often. And before He sends us back, He looks at inward, inside. We look on the outside, He looks on the inside. And so He says, you know, you're worried and distracted about many things, because He has been watching her. He's been watching her. And He watches us. The reason we go to Him is because He watches. Things that other people cannot see, things other people cannot know, He sees, He knows. And He speaks to that situation, our heart. You know, the worry is not something minor. Worry is a very favorite pastime for most people. And it's a sport that doesn't require any skill. You think about it. Anybody can participate in that. Right? It's an equal opportunity. Everybody can get in. No fees involved. Nothing. All you have to do to have the mind and the body and you can participate. Right? So, a lady by the name Irma Bombeck wrote, this is what she said. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but never gets you anywhere. I'm sure you've heard of this before. Another person said, worry never robs tomorrow of its sorrow. It only saps today of its joy. And that's a person by the name of Lilio Buscaglia. And George Bernard Shaw, a well-known person, people become attached to their burdens sometimes more than the burdens are attached to them. This one is my favorite. Winston Churchill said, when I look back on all these worries, I remember the story of the old man who said on his deathbed that he had had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which had never happened. Worry destroys our spiritual life. It's not a neutral thing. It's like an underground water that pollutes every aspect of our lives, right? Because it's the heart. It deals with the heart of a person, and the heart is the heart of the issue, right? So worry is not something we take very lightly. In Matthew chapter 13, if you remember the parable of the sower, Jesus was telling about four types of hearts where the word was being sown into, and one of those four is the thorny heart, where the person received the word, but the cares and the troubles of riches choked the word, so the word did not bear or yield the fruit it required or it's capable of. So he says, As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one, this is the words of Jesus, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. It's not like it yields something, or it occasionally yielded, occasionally bore fruit, every now and then, sort of on and off. No, it's zero, nothing. It's shocking to see that the word comes in, it bears nothing because of worry, right? So, what Jesus said, one thing is needed. What is more, what's that one thing that's more important than serving Jesus? What could possibly be more important than serving Jesus? I mean, Martha was busy serving, right? And I think the one thing that's more important than serving is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Sitting, right? You've all heard the saying that just don't sit there, do something, right? The reverse is the truth. Don't be busy, sit there, right? Jesus is saying just don't be busy, sit there, right? Because relationship is the one thing that is more important than service. Relationship is the one thing that is more important. And when our relationship to Him is, we call it devotion or worship. This is just relationship. Another word, devotion or worship, is just another spiritual word for relationship. And a lawyer comes to Jesus and asks Him, what is the greatest commandment? Master, he says, what is the greatest commandment? You all know the story in Matthew 22. And Jesus replied and says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. See, that deals with the heart and soul, which is the devotion, the total commitment, the undivided attention that we individually have to Him, right? That's the greatest commandment. The first one and the greatest one, right? And the Psalm we read this morning, Psalm 27:4. This is David. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek. Look at the focus. One thing I ask. This is a great king who has seen it all, who has conquered, who has been up, who has known the Lord all his life from his teenage years. Then he says, he narrowed it down to one single thing. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And then he goes on to make it more specific, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. In the Old Testament, the temple is a place. The temple is in our heart, in your heart, in my heart, in your heart. In the Second Testament, we are the temple of the Lord, right? So, and when you think about it, Martha's struggle is the struggle we all really face. To be or not to be, right? To do or not to do. We know what we need to do, but we face that urge to move, the urge to do something, because the culture around us is conditioned. The culture around us rewards the doers. Doing is rewarded more than relationships. Relationships are becoming increasingly devalued. God measures our relationship to Him. The currency that He understands is the time. Children, as you notice, this is the currency they understand, time. They don't understand anything else. They understand time, right? And my mother, when I spend time with her, the greatest gift I get from her, she's the only person I know that I can get her spirit, soul, and body. To be present with my mother is to be present with someone. She's present. Her presence is the greatest thing. She just knows, doesn't ask for money, doesn't need anything from me other than just to talk, to be with me, listen, and give me her heart, her presence. Right? This is the very core of our need, is the relationship. To belong, to be with somebody, is a need, right? Service is important. In 1 Peter 4:10, like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you received. We are to serve one another, and it's honorable. But service without relationship is slavery. Right? When we serve without meaningful, intimate relationship, we are entering into slavery. We're simply sweating, right? True service begins at the feet of Jesus. Now, when we talk about worship, the general word for worship, the Hebrew word is avoda, which really means work. Worship and service, it all embodies. The Hebrew notion of worship is a complete thing. What we do, our service, our worship, all of that is really worship, right? And the New Testament, affirms that, saying, whatever you do, do it unto the glory of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10, I believe. But when it becomes personal, right? And in Exodus chapter 8, verse 1, the Lord sends Moses to Egypt. He said, go tell Pharaoh, this is what you're going to tell Pharaoh. This is what the Lord says, let my people go so that they may worship, avoda me, they may worship me. The reason you're going to come out of slavery, you come out of the world as it were, we are the for. This is the foreshadow of our coming out of the world into the freedom of Christ, is to worship God, right? And excuse me. And the emphasis that Jesus is placing here at his feet is because that is a place where we find identity and context, right? This identity to the service is energized. Service gets meaning from the relationship that we have with Christ. So, in Matthew 16, Jesus asks the question, whom do people say that I am? You know this scripture. And the disciples say, well, some say you are John the Baptist, some say you are Elijah. And then Jesus turns and asks his disciples, whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ of God. Jesus was impressed. He says, wow, this flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my heavenly Father revealed that to you. And on this, I will build my church. On this relationship, on this revelation, on this understanding, on this true knowledge, now I can establish the foundation. And the gates of Hades will not prevail against this church. Because this church is founded on the truth, the revelation. That came out of the relationship. Jesus knew who he was, but Peter didn't. Now, Peter knew Jesus now. Now Peter knows Jesus. Now Jesus said, you are Peter. You are the Petros. You are the rock. You are no longer the reed that you were, Simon. That is wishy-washy. That is a standing on service. You're going to be standing on fellowship. You're going to be standing on the relationship that you have with me. Because you have that intimate relationship with me. Now I know you have understanding. Right? So, question that I want to leave you with is, are you finding yourself more and more at the feet of Jesus? Or are you busy? Are you preoccupied with the stuff of life?